Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So much of what I do in working with people in their finances is, of course, looking at the whole person, the whole patient, if you were, and look at where they are. And it's not unusual for me to first really get a clear picture of what they've got, what they're doing, what their situation is. And I can tell you that a lot of what I do is tailoring financial products and solutions and the planning to where people are. And it's not one size fits all because everybody's different. And I do a lot of work with retirees and seniors. So because of that, aging and the changes that go on with that are very relevant to those things. So it's not like everybody gets, you know, portfolio A or portfolio B. There's a lot of planning, but let's call it holistic planning. Well, we're very fortunate. Beth has outdone herself again to find a wonderful guest for us that's going to bring some interesting insight into what I just shared with you. And it's looking at aging from more of the medical side, but bridging the gap. And you'll see why we're talking about it this way. Dr. Mark Agronin is our guest today. He is a board-certified adult and geriatric psychiatrist. And we're really excited to have him on. He's board certified. He's done this work for a long time, currently serving as medical director for mental health and clinical research at Miami Jewish Health Systems, Harvard University graduate with a degree in psychology and philosophy, wow, and received his medical degree from Yale University. He's appeared on the Today Show and CNN, and his articles are frequently featured in the New York Times and many other publications. Lives in Cooper City, Florida. And he's written the book, How We Age, A Doctor's Journey into the Heart of Growing Old. And the website, markagronin.com, markagronin.com. Dr. Agronin, welcome to the program.
It is just a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. I'm so excited. I'm really intrigued, and I'm going to remind myself a couple times it's an interview and not just you and I talking on the phone, because I'm like, how cool to get ahead of myself, because I want to get your insights into this, because I'm doing this work, working with people that are aging. We all are. But in the moment, you know, we're not always as aware as maybe we should be. So people are experiencing different things at different points, but when they reach retirement, when they are, you know, looking at how they're going to spend their quote unquote golden years, it really plays a factor in, as I set it up, you heard before I introduced you, it's so interwoven into people's experiences and it affects the decisions they make. So yay to have you here. If I was to ask you one of the biggest things that people may be surprised from the work you've done about aging, because, you know, so much of the pop culture is avoiding and staving off and all the things we can do to try to avoid aging. People dread aging. So what do you say to that, about that being so much part of what we experience in our culture?
I love the way you described your work, and you made a point that is so relevant here. You talked about the variety of different plans people come up with. One size doesn't fit all. There's many different things to think about, to plan about as we get older. And that's really a perfect way of thinking about aging. It used to be, if you go back a couple generations, that when you hit what we now consider retirement age in your early 60s, you were quite old.
Right.
And indeed, you were really planning for your final years. That's no longer the case. I don't think anyone now thinks about 62, which is the average retirement age, is old. Individuals routinely live into their mid to late 80s, and even more people living much longer than that. And so aging, it has an incredible variety of changes that people face, many of which are positive. We tend to think sometimes only in terms of decline and the negative aspect, but we have to keep in mind that there's so much more than that. And that's why I'm certain you've seen this in your work. I certainly see this in my work.
Sure.
That you can't really make any surefire assumptions about what it's going to be like for someone. And you have to open up so many possibilities. And that's even changing by the day.
It really is. I'm glad to have you, you know, validate that for me, Dr. Agronin, because, you know, I look sometimes at my clients and I'm like, wow, you're so busy. I don't want to retire and be that busy. I mean, they're so active and busy, and we'll get to some of the things about bucket lists in a minute. But, you know, it's interesting that each person is a different experience. And I tell you, one of the things that is It used to surprise me. Now it's just more of a curiosity or maybe just an observation that is interesting to me is that I've had people come in, and again, I know you've experienced this every day. I had people come in and there's a 62-year-old comes in and then another 62-year-old or 72-year-old come in, and they are all so different, and their real age, not just as chronological, what was your birth date, but their real, you know, energy level, life, how they appear, their real age, it can be radically different.
That's true.
You know,
it's
fascinating
to see.
Yeah, it really is.
I even see individuals now, this is what I've witnessed in my own practice over the past 10 to 15 years, they come in and they're in their 90s, and they're busy, they're active, they're involved. If I close my eyes and I, for a moment, push aside what I know about their age,
right,
they're dealing with so many of the same issues that someone in their 60s and 70s is dealing with at the same time. So that's really where we see the changing face of aging, and we also begin to appreciate how important it is to stay vitally involved. You know, this whole notion of retirement, which I know we'll talk more about, I think we need to rethink what that means, because when you turn 62 today, if you're retiring then, you may have another good 20 to 40 years ahead of you. You can't play golf during that whole time. I suppose you could, but
some will try.
Either you're going to be really good at it or you're going to be really bored.
Yeah.
So we have to, again, start thinking about our lives and how we plan for them in much broader ways.
You know, the thing I would love to get your, and this is certainly a medical observation you can make for me and for our listeners, is, you know, in my lifetime, and it's kind of convenient, I can look at this and go, wow, you know, when I was young and when I was a kid, you know, we heard about somebody dying in their mid to late 60s or even their early 70s. There was no remarks about, golly, they were so young. It was just simply accepted, and that's the way it was. And now, you know, three, 4 decades later, which is not that long in human history, we have, you know, if somebody dies at, say, 70, the first question is, what happened?
Sure, it's true.
And so could you point to any one or a couple of things that is the most significant reason for that?
Yeah, I would say a lot has to do with better control of vascular risk factors, having to do with heart disease,
heart, okay,
and with strokes.
Okay.
If you go back, I'm even thinking when I began medical school.
Sure.
I don't think we even had cholesterol medication at that point. It was just coming out.
Okay.
Which made an enormous difference. You think about how people have things like diabetes monitored today. It's vastly different than a generation ago. High blood pressure. I think these factors have made the difference. Secondly, in terms of cancer, we are better in terms of being proactive to detect and treat cancer earlier. And we can, even though there's still many types that we don't have cures for, we're certainly able to treat it and keep things at bay and keep people living much longer. And I think that will continue to change. I really think that in terms of cancer, we're getting close to a tipping point in terms of a real revolution in the way we approach it. So those are the two main killers in my life, heart disease
sure.
and cancer.
Okay. So here's what's interesting about that, that you're sharing that with us, doctor, is that those are treatment, management, all wonderful contributions from the medical field. All of the focus for the last 3 or 4 decades on fitness and healthcare and all of that, you know, is often touted as we just take better care of ourselves. And that wasn't one of those first two you mentioned, which is interesting to me.
Well, I think it's interesting you mentioned that point, because I also was thinking, how can we assess the whole, healthier lifestyle approach here in terms of people exercising more? There's no question that's made a difference, although I suspect that some of the medical changes have made an even bigger difference because at the same time, rates of obesity have really skyrocketed. So
Exactly.
But even with that, we're still able to treat a lot of the damage that's done and keep people alive a lot longer.
Imagine a world where we got both of them right?
Well, that's true.
What's the world?
Although it's interesting, if you look at longevity, and there's a wonderful book called The Blue Zones by Dan Buettner. He's a National Geographic explorer, and he looks at different areas in the world, so-called blue zones, where people live long. And what you find there is that people are just more naturally physically active. It's not that they exercise. Most of them don't. But they're just physically active in their daily life. They have simpler diets, lots of fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. almost like a Mediterranean diet.
Yeah.
I think sometimes there's so much hype about all the different ways to exercise and supplements and approaches like that. It sometimes makes it more complicated, and it makes people spend more money and put more time into it than they really need to get the health benefits that we're seeking.
Yeah, because it is all about balance, and if they're spending all their time in the gym, why are you doing that? To be able to enjoy life longer? And
Well, that's a good point. And then risking hurting your joints and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm nursing a shoulder right now, so I know all about that.
Know all about that then.
Yeah, I'm putting off going to the doctor, but I think I might have to.
So if you put all these things together, that you see the remarkable changes that we're really that's unfolding in front of us, and it's very exciting. But it also brings up some really key challenges about what late life is going to be all about. And what you do is so critically important, because how will you sustain yourself financially?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just 10, 15 years you're thinking about. It may be 30 or 40 years plus. What about your children, your grandchildren? I think some of those challenges are looming even larger than some of the health issues for people.
Well, you're right on the money, no pun intended, doctor, because I sometimes will get an interesting reaction when I present my financial plans, and I make a point saying, look, my plan runs out to age 100, and this is what it looks like. And then I say, of course, tongue in cheek, then don't mess my plan up. You need to be here. And it's so funny how often I get the response, oh, I don't want to live to 100. And you know what I say back? I say, you say that now, but at 99, you won't be saying that.
That's right. And think about that. 30 years ago, if you had told someone you're putting a plan together to take him to age 100, they'd laugh in your face.
Exactly.
But nowadays, not so much, because increasingly we know people not only in their 90s, but they're active, they're busy, and they need the money.
That's a wonderful time to be alive, to see all this unfolding, and they do need the money, and that's, of course, that's why we do the planning. If you're just joining us, Dr. Mark Agronin is our guest, board-certified adult and geriatric psychiatrist. The book, How We Age, A Doctor's Journey into the Heart of Growing Old, and we're just going to be touching a little bit of it today, but a wonderful read and a wonderful resource. And the website, also a great resource, markagronin.com, markagronin.com. And we're going to grab a quick break. We'll be right back with Dr. Agronin. Stay right there.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN, no cost or obligation. Or visit planstronger.com.
Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi, I'm Tony, chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now, and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440 for more information.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Agronin, Dr. Mark Agronin on the line with me, board-certified adult and geriatric psychiatrist. How We Age, A Doctor's Journey into the Heart of Growing Old. What a wonderful contribution to this area. And the website, markagronin.com. And for fear of running out of time, I want to ask you this question, Dr. Agronin. If readers of your book or our listeners today were to take away one thing from your book, one idea from your book, we'll go ahead and steal the thunder a little bit. What would you say that is, or what would you want that to be? If they get your book, they read it, what would you want them to take away about aging?
I want them to honor aging, to look at it as a time of growth and opportunity and potential at the same time that they are facing the age-related changes that are part of life. To balance out their perspective, that's really key. And that's really what the book is about, to look at many circumstances in which someone might say, well, there's no hope there.
Yeah,
it's all about decline, it's about change. But to look at it in a different light, to change our perspective, that's critical.
That's excellent. It's, yeah, so much of, and I alluded and referred to this earlier, and I won't repeat it, but it's so much of the culture today is about youth, but there's so much vitality now at much older ages, and, you know, it kind of puts the final kibosh on the cliche of don't trust anybody over 40, right? So, I mean, all that, the accumulated knowledge and wisdom, and before we started the show, I was sharing with Beth that I wouldn't trade what I know to go back. If I could take what I know and go back, great, but I'm not going to trade what I know. There's so much tangled up into the culture. One example is the perception. Again, this is all about aging and how we've kind of perceive certain phases of life, Dr. Gronin. And one of them is the nursing home. You know, and that's a conversation I have to have whether I want to or not. I don't have the luxury of turning away from that. I encourage everyone to have an active discussion with me about, you know, planning for that and how you make sure you've addressed the risk and the cost associated with it. So the big question is it just a bad job of marketing by nursing homes or home health care and other places where they provide assistance and they have such a bad public image, or, you know, what's the deal?
Well, there's no question that that's part of it. I would venture to guess most people when they visit a nursing home don't necessarily come out skipping and dancing and thinking that that would be someplace that they want to go to.
Yeah.
From one perspective, many individuals get to the point where they simply cannot be safely cared for at home.
Right.
They're not getting as much attention and stimulation, and so they need that help. The real question is, well, what's the best setting? Part of the issue is that so many people don't have the resources to be able to stay at home.
Right.
When you think about it, it can cost an enormous amount of money.
Oh yeah.
Now, not to say that nursing homes don't cost equal amounts of money, but the difference is if you run out of money, Medicaid will cover a nursing home. It won't cover you being living at home. And that's one of the inequities that we see.
Mm-hmm.
To give you an example, Medicare, you could be in your 80s and 90s. Medicare will practically cover any major surgery you need, but it won't pay for someone to come to your house and spend time with you,
right,
aside from just perhaps a very brief period of time when you're rehabbing. So these are issues that are larger financial and societal issues that need to be addressed. I think the notion of what a nursing home is changing. So one way in which it's changed is that more people go to assisted living or ALF. They've become, in essence, the new nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to money to go to an ALF.
That's
there
right.
is no insurance coverage for it, or at least it's less, and maybe you'll have a long-term care plan that will cover that, often not. But we're also rethinking what a nursing home is like, making them more home-like.
Mm-hmm.
Where I work at Miami Jewish Health Systems, we're really putting that front and center to try to reinvent what it means to be in a nursing home. Where I work is the largest nursing home in the state of Florida. So there are parts of it which people would say this is a traditional nursing institution. We're proud of the care we give people, but we also realize that expectations are changing.
Yeah.
The face of aging is changing. People are coming in, they're much older, and they're much sicker. And the question is, how do you still provide for a really enriched and vital life even at that point?
Right.
And part of the focus has to be on maximizing a variety of different activities, getting to know them, having staff trained and to be empathic and attentive caregivers. It's a tall order, but that's what we're looking at, because as you and I know, baby boomers are not going to be, and rightfully so, are not going to be satisfied with the state of affairs now.
No,
they will bring similar creativity and revolutions to long-term care as they should, as we need.
As they have every other industry and phase of life that they touched. And it was just a moment ago, Dr. Gronin, that they were turning 65. Now they're turning 70. And 10,000 a day. yes, they will affect all of this. And, you know, a couple of things that you mentioned that I just want to underline. Yeah, clearly preventive care. And, you know, we could do a study, and I'm sure there's been studies done that say, you know, providing assistance and care in the home would actually reduce costs to Medicare of some of the things that happen with, you know, falls and other, the cost of a head injury and, you know, just so many other things. And now the good news about, you mentioned about care and plans, you know, the good news, bad news, or good news reality check is that there are a lot of excellent insurance policies that are available, and the insurance industry has been listening to advisors and the consumers about what they need. But there's a big catch or reality check. You got to get it before you need it. And that's
well,
so,
that's an yeah. I'm curious what you recommend to clients you work with, because what I see is, you're right, you don't know what you're going to need, and no one even wants to plan with it. It's almost the way people think about life insurance at times. There's a fear of doing it. There's superstitions about
exactly.
it. That once you sign this, something's going to happen to you.
Exactly.
And the thought of being in a nursing home, no one really plans that or wants that. But as people are living longer, and especially what I work on mostly is individuals who have Alzheimer's disease and other forms of either dementia or what we now call neurocognitive disorders, you could be afflicted with that for 10 to 15 or more years.
Right.
When you need an enormous amount of services. And being home, yes, is comfortable, but it can also be very isolating. So how do you help people plan for what may be the inevitable, which they don't want and they don't want to think about, and yet they have to plan for it?
Exactly. And I'll answer that right after the break, because that's going to take me longer to answer. Dr. Marco Gronin, ladies and gentlemen, asking me a great question, which I'm going to answer right after the break. His book is How We Age, A Doctor's Journey into the Heart of Growing Old. MarcoGronin.com is the website. Quick break. Right back with your answer. Stay right there.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I'm one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. I held you over on the break to answer Dr. Marco Gronin's great question about how we plan for these longer lives and longer experiences or incidences of the need for long-term care, Dr. Gronin. And I want to answer it, because it is a growing and a more significant challenge for all the things we talked about during this program to try to plan for these expenses, which of course also increase because of inflation. And the unpredictability and uncertainty of how long people will live and how long they'll need care, when they'll need care. So here's the short answer as I can make it. There has thankfully been an evolution in the insurance industry where they have paid attention, listened to advisors and consumers about products. And there are long-term care products today that can provide lifetime benefits. So the products have gone through several evolutions. It's kind of like the car models coming out. We have electric cars now for a reason, because consumers are demanding them. There are policies that we can do which will provide lifetime benefits, be it for home health care, assisted or nursing home. And that also, if the insured, the buyer of that policy, never needs it for long-term care, that it either can be cashed in and they can get part of their money back or most of their money back. Or, even more important, there can be a death benefit for the spouse or for the family. So there are products that are out there, but the big thing, which I mentioned before, is you got to do it before you need it.
That's true.
So that's good news. I mean, that's really good news, but it requires planning. And I just met with a couple. Husband just been diagnosed with Parkinson's. Wife is healthy. And I had that we were doing the planning for them. And so their plan calls for a long-term care policy on her, not on him, because I don't think we can get it. So we've got to protect the assets for his use because he'll likely need the assets. And then we need to have the long-term care insurance policy for her because we need to protect the assets for him if she needs it. And also she needs to have the policy if he ends up using the assets before she needs hers.
As I listen to your description, I'll tell you what comes to mind is how important it is for people to learn about the aging process and know what's ahead.
Yeah.
When we're young, we have a good idea about what we may do in college, what it will be about getting a job. But how many people really have an understanding of what aging is all about and what would it mean to get Parkinson's disease or Alzheimer's disease? What does that involve? How long does it take?
Yeah.
That has to factor into the planning. And I don't say that to scare people.
No.
But they need to have a realistic view of that. So when they sit and meet with you, it makes more sense to them.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's why I was so excited to have you on the program. And I want people to get your book, How We Age, A Doctor's Journey into the Heart of Growing Old, right from your perspective and to be able to learn more about this. It's just so vital. And I know that, you know, much of what your perspective has been formed, Doctor, by, you know, you're having these relationships with your clients over the years where you really are a student of your patient.
That's very true. It's amazingly true. I'm always nervous writing about aging because I realize I'm still relatively young. So what do I know about that? But I base it on what I learn from aging individuals,
yeah.
What I learn from my parents and from their friends and from
sure.
patients. You're right. Being a good student of older people is great because it teaches us what may lie ahead and how to cope with it. And we see good examples. We see not so good examples. But without question, how we think about aging can make a difference in terms of what aging will be like with us, how prepared we are, what attitude we take. It all can make an enormous difference. And part of that is the type of planning you do because it gives you a peace of mind, which is so important.
Peace of mind and reduce stress. And then there we go down that path of all how this all pulls together and affects us that then makes you happier and you're, you know, maybe healthier as a result. I try to do the same and be a student of my clients, patients, if you will, and listen to what they're saying. And I had that couple say to me that I mentioned before, golly, where were you 10 years ago? I said, well, I was here, but I'm here now and let's get this figured out. I mean, I'm still learning too. And there's so much to this that is evolving. And so I love your contribution, Doctor, to all of this. And I applaud the work you're doing and we'll have to have you back and talk another time because there's so much more to dig into. But I love what you're doing and thank you for taking some time with us.
Well, thank you. So kind of you to say and keep up the great, important work. And I hope many people will seek you out to really make late life a better time because they will have the resources that they need.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Mark Agronin with us today, ladies and gentlemen. How We Age, A Doctor's Journey into the Heart of Growing Old. That's the book. MarkAgronin.com is the website. Thank you, Dr. Agronin. We'll talk again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.